We are going to continue the unity of the Spirit through the agreement of witnesses. So we looked at a lot of revelations of how I told you that the greatest, one of the things that I told you that the greatest witness is God. When we read the revelations in 1 John chapter number 5 about the three witnesses in heaven, that is the third heaven specifically, and about the three witnesses on earth. And then John says that the greatest witness is God. So everything I told you, that the speakings and the utterances of God are established through agreements. God has his word, but is there a person on earth who can agree with his word and submit to his word? So when there is an agreement between a person and the word, that is the witness of God, God is able to manifest his word. Anyone who agrees with God, his word shall not fall. The Bible says, none of the words of Samuel fell. So, because he was speaking the word of God. So, through agreement of witnesses. So, God is the greatest witness. And when a person agrees with the word of God, with the witness of God, whatever he speaks will be established. Whatever he speaks will happen, because he is speaking in agreement with the greatest witness. He's not speaking his own words. But on the other hand, if we speak our own words, it means nothing. But if we speak our words in agreement to the greatest witness, it is established. So God, we saw that God is the greatest witness. And I told you that the speakings and the utterances of God are established by the agreement of the speakings of the witnesses. The speakings and the utterances of God are established by the agreement of the speaking of the witnesses. And God confirms that he is speaking through the agreement and the alignment of a witness. For those who don't know who is a witness is the one who has a personal relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, and hears him and obeys him. He or she is a witness. All right. Let's go to one of the verses, scriptures that we were on last time, where we ended in John chapter number 5, the Gospel of John. John chapter number 5, verse number 31 to 38. Now this is Jesus speaking here. He says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Hallelujah. How to get rid of identity crisis. I mean, how to get rid of low self-esteem. You have to understand the witness of God about you. So Jesus was not a man who was, oh, the Pharisees told me like this. Oh, they said I am a devil. How can they say that about me? Oh, I was offended when they looked at the Pharisees were looking at me like that. The Pharisees said like this to me. They said like this to me. He did not care what people talked about him. He knew who he was. Why? Because he knew the witness of God about him. That is how you get rid of many negativity that is thrown at you from the enemy, and negativity that comes out of your flesh, offense, getting offended by small things, identity crisis, not knowing who you are. So you are turned and you are twisted by the winds of the speakings of people. He said like that. Oh, he said that I am a prophet. He said that I am a teacher. I think I should do like that. But Jesus said, I know what God witnesses of me. I know that. And what God witnesses of me is true. So I don't look at the words of people. I know the witness of God, that his word about me, what he calls me, who am I in the eyes of God. So he says, there is another who bears witness of me, verse 32. And I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. That is the word I told you, that for the salvation of man, God is allowing human witnesses to speak together. I told you last time, when I say the same thing and someone I don't know in another country says the same thing, maybe when I spoke it to you, you did not believe it, but when that person spoke the same thing to you, you will know that God is speaking. Because how can that person and this person speak the same things? That is how the Bible is evident, that the Bible is a truth. Because over 40 authors, over a period of 1500 years, around 40 authors of the Bible wrote things who did not even knew each other, which aligned together to form the Bible. Hallelujah. Who were from different walks of life, who were from different backgrounds, who were from different cultures, different languages, different territories. And whatever they wrote came together. And even whatever they wrote were similar to each other. How can that happen? That is what confirms that the Bible is the speakings and the utterances of God himself. So for the salvation of man, Jesus says, I don't need a human witness, but because you should be saved, you should believe. That's why I am confirming that who I am was foretold and fore manifested and manifested already, told already by John, and you sent to John and he spoke about me. Not that I need a human witness, but you should believe that God has sent me, and there was a witness before me who was sent. Okay, verse number 35. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. That is the reason you cannot understand me. Hallelujah. So you have to hear the Rhema voice of God. You have to become a witness for you to understand scripture. Many people read the Bible, but they cannot understand it. Why? Because they are not a witness of the voice of God. They are not a witness of the speakings of God. So without the speakings of God, if you read the Bible, without having a relationship with God, if you read the Bible, you would not understand it. I told you, many people would sit there and be blank while I am teaching because they don't have the voice of God. I remember I used to hear God in the morning, write it on the diary, go to the church. There in the church, to my surprise, every point exactly the man of God was speaking that I wrote on the diary. When he was speaking, I was so excited. Forget about getting sleep. I was so excited because I knew God was speaking. Whatever God spoke to me there on the pulpit, the man whom I did not discuss anything is speaking the same things. So when there is agreement of witnesses, their convictions are created. Hallelujah. Can you say amen, people of God? Hallelujah. Some people say, you know what? Amen. Rahul, we are coming because we want to hear you. We are there on the meeting, this and that. Why don't you? You know what? I ask amen for the agreement of witnesses. Is there an agreement in the meeting? Any which ways? Okay, so that is where we ended. But okay, now what I want to start off today with, even the enemy can deceive someone through the agreement of the witnesses of the devil. 3-4 people can speak the same thing. And you may say, oh, God is speaking. God is not speaking. The enemy can, that is, I will show you, bring you to, I will bring to your notice the scripture. Okay. So So as God brings people in our lives and they speak something and they speak, another person speaks something else, and both of them are speaking the same things, we have to be discerning. The enemy can do likewise. He can bring 10 people together in your life during the day who are speaking the same things to you. But it's a lie, all of them who are speaking. And it's not a confirmation. It's a repetition of a lie to make it a truth. Hallelujah. You know, I think I have taught this. Listen to me. You know how the devil portrays a lie as a truth to you? Do you know how a devil portrays, deceives you to believe a lie, for you to consider that lie as a truth by repeating it to you again and again and again, hammering it to you again and again and again? Hallelujah. For example, you have this pain in your body, and for example, you have a headache, and you are praying, and the Spirit of God says to you, you are healed. But after some time, you still feel the pain. You know, I think I am not healed. Anything that is contrary to the speakings of God is a lie. Then again that sensation comes. So the enemy is posting a lie to you again and again for you to turn your mind from the truth to the lie and believe the lie rather than the truth by attacking you with a lie again and again and again. Hallelujah. Amen. God told you that you will minister to the nations, and then you try to minister, nothing happens. You try to do something, nothing happens. Again and again, you are failing. What is happening? The enemy is trying to tell you that you are a failure, which is a lie, but trying to attack it to you, trying to post it to you by again and again posting it to you. He is trying to make it look like a truth because of the situation that is happening again and again to you. That is repetitive lies. Through repetitive lies, he tries to make the lie a truth to you. Are we together? So that is what the enemy does. And sometimes you have to understand that the enemy can also bring people in your life who will say the same things, but it's not God who is saying the same things. It's the enemy bringing people and bringing the agreement of his agents who are saying a lie for you to be deceived by a lie rather than hearing the voice of God. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter number 22. 1 Kings chapter number 22, verse number 1. 1 Kings chapter number 22, verse number 1. Now 3 years passed without war between Syria and Israel. Then it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, "Do you know that Ramoth in Gilead is ours? But we hesitate to take it out of the hand of the king of Syria." So he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to fight at Ramoth Gilead?" So King Ahab and King Jehoshaphat, king of Israel, king of Judah, having a meeting. And King of Israel asking Jehoshaphat to collaborate with himself to go for a war against Ramoth Gilead, to capture it. Jehoshaphat said to the King of Israel, "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." Also Jehoshaphat said to the King of Israel, "Please inquire for the word of the Lord today." Then the King of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, 400 prophets together, and they said, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain?" So they said, "Go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king." And Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him?" Okay, you see that? 400 prophets confirmed and were speaking the same thing. What they were speaking? They were prophesying that God will give you victory. Go against Ramoth Gilead. They were all prophesying a lie. They were all prophesying something. And this guy was energized. When this chapter is the current situation of Christendom, is the current situation of the church. There are many people who speak lies, but there are very few who speak the truth. If the majority who speak a lie, 400 of them are speaking a lie, but one person will come, only he speaks the truth. That does not mean that one person is speaking a lie, that one person is from God. Even though the 400 are collaborating together and speaking the same thing, we need discernment in this time and season. We cannot go with the majority. You need discernment who is speaking what. Hallelujah. Are we together? Okay. Verse number 7. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, having put on their robes, sat each on his throne at a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. Now Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, had made horns of iron for himself, and he said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into king's hands. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement. So he was pressurized by the host or by the person, the servant of the king. He is saying, oh, you see, all the prophets in the crusade, in the revival meeting, are prophesying blessings, breakthrough. We are giving you the stage, when you come there, you also speak in their alignment. Speak as one with them. So there is a pressure of flowing with the crowd. There is a pressure of flowing with what all the people are saying, what their voices are saying. There is a pressure. But you need to make a difference by hearing the word of the Lord and not being afraid to speak the word of the Lord. To speak and to declare and to preach the word of the Lord in the time and the season we are living in is not easy, it's difficult. Because when you are speaking, preaching, declaring the word of the Lord, you are flowing against the tide of the world. You are flowing against the wave of the world. The world is flowing like this. You are standing up against the wave of the world. You are standing up against the flood that is flowing. For sure you will be criticized. But are you courageous to declare and to prophesy what God says to you? Even though the world is witnessing something else, the witnesses of the devil, the witnesses of a lying spirit. Hallelujah. Verse number 14. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall we refrain? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. So the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Then he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains, as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. This is the word of the Lord now. Hallelujah. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you? He would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Listen to this. Then Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, Who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? So one spoke in this manner and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, In what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, You shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours. And the Lord has declared disaster against you. Listen to me. Did you hear the scripture I was reading? Hallelujah. Prophets, 400 of them were prophesying something that they believed with all their heart that the Lord is speaking, that the Lord is speaking. They believed with all their heart. You know how they were prophesying? They were catching the frequencies in the realms of the spirit. That is how even sorcerers speak. You know, sorcerers can even tell you things about your life. Tell you things, who is your mother, who is your father, all those things. Because they have the ability to catch the frequencies in the realms of the spirit, in the realms of the first heavens and the second heaven. So they were catching the frequencies, the word that were from the first and the second heaven, and they believed it so much that it was God, but it was not God. It was a lying spirit. It was a demon that was speaking to them. And they all came in agreement to be the witness of a demon that is a lying spirit. The only person who could discern that even though 400 people are speaking the same thing, it is not from God. The person could discern that because he visited the throne room of God. He was intimate with God. He was close with God. Only when you are close to the Lord, you are intimate with the Lord, you visit the most holy place, and sometimes you stay there, only then you will be able to break the unity of the agreement of demonic witnesses. Hallelujah. And it's not easy. Only Sister Vetonia saying amen. Can people of God, can you shout amen? You know, when there are 20 people here and three people are on the screen.
Amen.
Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, shout.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Shout a loud amen and wake them up who are sleeping. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. When a person, there is a need to break the unity of demonic witnesses. Yes. Where does the demonic witnesses, the unity of the demonic witnesses exist? It's not outside the church, beloved. It's inside the church. It's among the so-called servants and the pastors. Demonic witnesses, you know, never believe a trend that goes on social media. Never believe that. It's from the devil. What I mean to say, you know, recently a pastor and someone from the meeting asked me, do you know? I said, I know about it because it's a trend going on everywhere. A pastor was there on the stage and that pastor rebuked something in the church, in the conference, in a men's conference that was happening in the US. And he rebuked someone who was doing some stuff, you know, something with the pole and all those things, like a stripper, male stripper. He rebuked that male stripper. And that news, every pastor started to post on their ministry, on their YouTube channel, on whatever. Oh, this is my view. This is my view. This is my opinion. This is my suggestion. This is my opinion. All started to post about the same thing. Everyone, just in 2 days, everyone started to post about the same thing. That's a diversion for the church from the devil. God wants the church to focus on hearing God and not to gossip here and there about stuff going on. What you think about, he said this. What you think about, he said that. It's all gossip. It's a diversion. It is lying spirits. And we think it's spiritual. Someone was speaking, oh, that bishop was attacked. He is a bishop that preaches the word. He was attacked in Australia and all those stuff. I said, nonsense. Don't focus on all those stuff. He's preaching the word of God. He's exposing other religion. Why doesn't he expose himself? Because he stands there with the sun cross, with the cross of Tammuz. All the ancestral photos of the Catholics are behind his pulpit. And he's exposing others. All these things are lying spirits. Don't believe every Tom, Dick and Harry who comes on YouTube and says God is speaking to you. Don't believe them. Be understanding. If they come, today is the day of breakthrough. Don't believe prophets who will come on 1st June and say June is the month of anointing. This June is the month of breakthrough. This June, don't believe them. Because it's because the practice of monthly prophecies is from Babylon and it's not from God himself. Monthly prognosticators are Babylonians. They are under a lying spirit, beloved. Only when a person is intimate with God, they can detect the lying spirit. And they can, all the Christian pastors in US are saying something, when you are intimate, you can stand and say what God says. But what will happen? It's very difficult. People will not do that because you are flowing against the wave, against the trend that is trending. So 400 people were saying something, but this guy came and said, you are going to die, Ahab, and the sheep of Israel are going to go back to their own houses, scattered and own houses. How did I say that? Because I was in the throne room of God. I did not detected the prophecy that I am giving you from the first and the second heaven. I know what happened in the throne room. God allowed a lying spirit, a demon, to come in the mouths of your prophets. Hallelujah. Build intimacy with God. Build intimacy with God. If you are addicted to YouTube messages, they will say, oh, Pastor Rahul, your messages also comes on YouTube. Well, Holy Spirit will lead people to listen to my messages. But I am saying those people who are addicted to hear God, and whenever you want to hear God, you don't open your Bible, you don't close yourself in the room, you go and surf on YouTube. Can someone speak to me? And they, I found out a video. Oh, this is the video. Close your YouTube. Don't go on YouTube. Go to your secret place and hear God for yourself. Hear him by visiting the most holy place, by getting intimate with you. You will get the right word. You will get the accurate word. You will get what he is speaking to you. Hallelujah. Don't flow with the trends. It does not mean if 500 prophets in the US and Canada are speaking the same things, it does not mean that it is truth. It is the truth. You have to discern. You have to discern. And you can only discern when you are intimate with God. How to build intimacy with God? How did I build intimacy with God in my life? How did I build intimacy with God in my life? How to build intimacy with God? Whenever you are heartbroken, you don't go to your husband. You don't go to your wife trying to vent out things. You go to the secret place and say, God, this is my situation. But here I come and worship you. I want to seek you. Someone cheated you. You lost money. You don't go to anyone to tell. You go to the secret place and say, Lord, I was cheated, but I just throw that. I just worship you. I just want you. You don't have money tomorrow to pay things. You don't go to people, but you go to the secret place. God, here I am. I don't have tomorrow. These are the needs, but I worship you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you. Someone betrayed you. You are not heartbroken and going to the alcohol shop to buy alcohol and drink because you are heartbroken. You are betrayed. But you go to God and God, this person betrayed me, but I forgive. I let her go or let him go. I want to know you. That is how you build intimacy. When anything happens, when there is a chance that you have to go away from him, but you come more near to him. That is how a person builds intimacy. That is how God is assured. This person I can use. You build intimacy. Hallelujah. You went for the job interview with a lot of prayer and fasting. There you went for the job interview and you were rejected. Again, for the fifth time, You don't go anywhere. You go, come to your house, close the door and come to your room. God, I was rejected, but I worship you. That is how you build intimacy. That is how I build intimacy in my life. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Many times in the church, you were insulted. Sometimes people criticize. That happened to me. 10 people standing insulted me for no rhyme or reason publicly. I came to my room. I said, Mom, I don't want to talk. Went to my bedroom and I said, Lord, my heart is broken. Do something with me. But I worship you. I seek you. I need you. I still worship you. That is how people are not here. Hallelujah. Let me change the topic. Intimacy. Secret place.
Amen.
I thought if I preach this sermon, people will dance and say amen. But people are silent. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. You build intimacy. Anything happens that is so troublesome, it broke your mind, it broke your heart, it left you shattered. But you go, don't go anywhere. You don't speak to God, anyone. You just go to your room, close your room, and Lord, I worship you. I need you. When God's, that is how you build intimacy. That is how God can know, this person is not moved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Build intimacy with God. Build your relationship with him. Build your relationship with him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Hallelujah.
You need to be intimate with God to break the unity of demonic agreements. This is very much needed, people of God. Very much needed, because I see many people, even after hearing the teaching, many people, they flow in the trend. Oh, you know what, Brother Rahul, I saw this. This pastor said this. When they are speaking, I know they are believing in a lie, because they are not intimate with the Lord. They are just believing in the agreement of people who are uttering by the lying spirit. Very important. So even as there is unity through the agreement of God's witnesses, there is unity in the agreement of demons, in the agreement of demonic witnesses. They start to speak and they divert the church, especially social media trends. They divert the church towards something else through things. Hallelujah. All right. Now, let's go to some scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Let's now focus on God's witnesses who speak the utterances of God. Let's focus on that now. God's witnesses who speak the utterances of God. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. How does God inspires men to write scripture? By the Holy Spirit, by the Ruach Elohim. Hallelujah. How does unity in the body of Christ comes? Not with mixing up with each other, talking to each other, and gelling up with each other. No, not through that primarily. It comes through when you hear the word of God, and when you hear the same things, you are hearing the same spirit, and then that it changes your mindset. It changes your belief system. I am hearing God, you are hearing God, you are hearing the same things, the way the Lord is working on you, the same way the Lord worked on me, your perspective becomes the same, my perspective becomes the same. That brings us, both of us together, to be united, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Are we together?
Hallelujah.
For those who were not there in the Friday meeting, I made a statement. I declared something that was that is from the Spirit of God. And what I said is today in the church, more than developing our relationships with each other and pleasing each other, we need to nurture our relationship with God, that we may be witnesses in agreement to his utterances in the spirit and not just display unity in the flesh. Hallelujah. That is what the church needs. That is what is the heart cry of God for the church. Because the church, more than a house of prayer, it's becoming the community center where people are coming together because of coffee, because of cakes, and not because of the word, not because of the Holy Spirit. They are coming together because clubs, community centers, even there you will see crowds of people. In the football match, the World Cup of the cricket is going on in USA, in New York. There people are coming together from all the nations. God is not there. They are coming together because they love sports. So, hallelujah. So there can be different agendas that can bring people together. But in God's church, the only thing that should unite people is God's word. Everyone who hears God, who has the same hunger, if you and me truly worship God, we will have the same vision for such a time as this. The 120 who gathered in the upper room, they were gathered there because they had the same vision. They were waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. No one said, oh, you know what? It's time. I will go cooking. I will go do this. No, they were all together, selflessly waiting because they had the same hunger. They had the same vision. The Holy Spirit had put the same burden in their hearts and they wanted the power from on high and they were waiting. Hallelujah. So it is the word of God, the witness of God that brings the witnesses together, that brings the remnant together. Hallelujah. Another scripture.
Amen.
2 Peter chapter number 1. Let's ponder on the scripture for some time. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Second Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 16 to 21. Second Peter chapter number 1. Hallelujah. Okay. We will come to that scripture afterwards. Before going to that scripture, let us go to another scripture in the book of Peter. Let's go come to First Peter. Hallelujah. Let's come to 1 Peter. Where is that scripture? Okay, we will see similarities of the scriptures that are written by the apostles. The same scriptures that are written by different apostles, the same things that are written. And before going to that, we will come to 2 Peter chapter number 1. Yes, chapter number 1, verse number 16. Verse number 16. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 16. It says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, and we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as the light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Now what Apostle Peter is speaking here, he is first talking about an encounter that he had with the Lord, and when he was with Jesus on the holy mountain, he's talking something that happened on the mountain that we call the mountain of transfiguration. On the mountain of transfiguration, when Jesus was speaking with Moses and Elijah, who came from heaven, and they were speaking about Jesus's demise, Peter, James, and John were there on the mountain. And when Peter wanted to make tents, the voice of God came, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him." This is the encounter that Peter is talking about. And Peter is saying, when I saw God speaking that about his son, Jesus Christ, the prophetic word was confirmed to me. So encounters in the realm of the spirit should bring a confirmation of the scriptures to you. If it does not bring a confirmation of the scriptures to you, those encounters have to be verified, whether it was from the Holy Spirit or from a demonic spirit. Are we understanding that? So what happened? The supernatural encounter that he saw, the voice that he heard, aligns with what the prophet said. It brought confirmation to him of the scripture. And so Peter is saying, we are not preaching or teaching to you cunningly devised fables that was created by our will, but we are preaching to you on which the witnesses of God have agreed and confirmed together that God is speaking this. That's why in all my sermons, whatever I preach, I align it to the scripture. If anything does not align to the scripture, I will not teach it. Even the visions I share, everything that I say should align to the scripture. Should be a confirmation of the scripture. Are we together? The prophetic, he says, the prophetic word confirmed. And so we preach those things to you. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We saw that Jesus is the one whom Isaiah spoke about, whom Ezekiel spoke about, who is a shadow of the things that happened in the Old Testament, which he signifies the ram that Abraham sacrificed to God. These things are confirmed. And that's why whenever they teach, there are scriptures. When Matthew writes the gospel, there are scriptures that are given from the Old Testament, quoting that this is what Jesus fulfilled. This is what his life fulfilled. So everything that Jesus did was scripture and scripture and scripture. Jesus' ministry and life was a confirmation of what God spoke. His life was in agreement and in alignment to the witness of God and with what God spoke. And so Peter is saying, we are not speaking to you cunningly devised fable, but we are teaching to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we were eyewitnesses. We are witnesses. You have to be a witness for you to teach. You have to be a witness for you to preach. Do we understand that? If there were no convictions created in your heart, what you will give to the other person? How will you evangelize? Tell me, if you read the Bible, but you never had, this is what is confirmed to me. This is what, if you did not have any confirmation from the Bible, what you will give to others, how will you evangelize to others? You need to have confirmation. And for you to have confirmations, you to become a witness of the greatest witness that is God, it takes some years. It takes some years for that to happen. It takes a walk with God for that to happen. Are we understand that? And then it says, no scripture, prophecy of scripture came from any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That is the unity of the Spirit. Though there are people from different walks of life, but they hear the one Spirit of God. And when they hear the one Spirit of God, the one Spirit says the same things to them and shows the same things to them. And then now we will see the similarities of the writings of the authors of the Bible. The similarities of the writings of the authors of the Bible. First of all, before going to the writings and the messages, let's go to the similarities of the realm of the Spirit. The realm of God is the same, beloved. The realm of God is same. No one can contradict the word of God saying that I saw a elephant in heaven, I saw a giraffe in heaven. Those things are not found in heaven. There are prophets coming up and saying, oh, I was in the lap of a giraffe, and then God came and spoke to me. You were in a demonic world, in an imaginary world. Those things do not exist in heaven, beloved. Do we understand that? Oh, I saw Michael Jackson in heaven. How Michael Jackson in heaven? Oh, no, because, you know, God forgave him. Forgave him and brought. No. You, everything, the what is in heaven, how heaven looks like, is right here in the scripture. And not one person, two people have spoke same things about heaven, because they visited the same heaven, the real heaven, the third heaven. And by the witnesses of two or more people, we know what they are speaking is true. And if God allows you to visit that place, and you see something that does not aligns with scripture, God did not allow you, or demon allowed you, you will see the same things what the servants of God saw. Are we together? There is a lot going on in Christendom. I saw this. Oh, I saw elephant. I saw giraffe. I saw this. You know what? Actually, God loves animal. And when you go to heaven, a person said, the kingdom of God is an animal kingdom. And we should love animals. All those stuff are nonsense. Those are demonic. It's not heaven. The Bible is so clear about of what are the things in heaven. And people have confirmed that. Okay. The first similarity I want to show you about the realms of God is Ezekiel chapter number 1, verse number 10 to 12. Someone open that. Ezekiel. Sister Joanne, you can open Ezekiel if you have the Bible with you now. Ezekiel chapter number 1. Just read verse number 10 to 12, okay? We don't have time to read the whole of it. Just read verse 10 to 12. And Sister Vetonia, you can open Revelation chapter number 4 and read verse 6 to 8. Revelation chapter number 4, read verse 6 to 8. Yeah, you can go ahead when you are ready.
Is it Ezekiel 1, chapter 10, verse 10 to 12?
Yeah, chapter 1, verse 10 to 12.
Mm-hmm. Yes. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and the four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle, thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward, two wings, every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies, and they went every one straight forward, whither the spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went.
Amen. Yeah, yeah. Sister Vetonia, you can go with Revelation 4.
6 to 8.
Yes.
Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes, before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had the face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come.
Amen. These are two people who lived thousands of years. You know, John lived thousands of years, was born thousands of years after Ezekiel was ministering. But when they visited this place, they saw the same things. And what they saw, what Ezekiel saw, was a perspective of these living creatures who were acting as a cherubim, who were acting as carriers of the presence of God. I don't have time to show you the whole chapter, but once I took a sermon on the living creatures. So these living creatures are the one, you know how the priests were supposed to carry the Ark of the Lord on their shoulders? It was a significant activity of what happens in the third heaven. So when the tabernacle of Moses was built, God literally from the throne of heaven came and started to dwell among the people inside the tabernacle. He was literally there, I am telling you. Okay? When Solomon built the temple, God literally came from his throne and sat on the throne which the servant of God created, exactly in the pattern of what was created in heaven. But the thing is, when Israel sinned against God and started to commit all abomination on the in the temple, corrupt the temple, God had to leave from the temple and go back to the throne. And to carry the throne of God, these living creatures are there. These are the four living creatures who carry the throne when God's throne has to be transported from one place to another place. This, I don't have time. You read Ezekiel chapter number 1, chapter number 9, chapter number 10. All those chapters, you will find that out. Okay, I don't have time in this sermon to tell you that. And to our surprise, what Ezekiel saw in heaven, the same thing John is seeing in heaven when he had a visitation in the throne room of God. Ezekiel says that their faces was like of man, one was of lion, one of ox, one of eagle. John says the same thing. He says about the face was lion, calf, and then of a man, of a flying eagle. The only thing is Ezekiel refers that one of the face as a ox face, and John refers one of the face as a calf face. There is a significance why they have those four faces, because they signify the four ministries of a priest who carry the presence of God on the earth. I don't have time to go there, but you see how what Ezekiel is seeing in heaven, John is saying the same things in heaven. So what I want to tell you, if you visit the realms of heaven, you will see the same things, and what you see should align to the scripture. The realms of heaven is the same. You know, one of the ladies who is not on our meeting but connected to other ministries that I do, so she said, "Oh, Brother Rahul, I listen to your sermons and I am still in the backlog. I am currently on the hidden wisdom part." So she listens completely and make notes. And she said to me, whenever I listen to the sermons, God speaks to me. Whatever issues, whatever questions I had, God speaks to me on a regular basis when I listen to those sermons. And then she said, in one of the sermons, when I was preaching on the Hidden Wisdom series, and then I told you that the spirit of wisdom is a she. She looks like a woman. And then I told in that series that I encountered that spirit of wisdom. And I saw a beautiful woman in the realm of the spirit. And she was doing like this with both of her hands like this. In her right hand, something was there. In her left hand, something was there. And then I was looking at this. And then I told the Lord, "Lord, what is this? What is this?" And then the Lord took me to Proverbs chapter number 3 or 2, I think, where it says, in her right hand, there is length of days, and in her left hand, there is riches and honor. And the Lord told me, she is a spirit of wisdom, and I am giving you wisdom that you saw. He took me to that scripture. So I was preaching that, and when I was preaching that, she heard this part of the message. When she heard this part of the message, the Holy Spirit took her to 2014, 10 years back. 10 years back or 2016, I don't remember. But 8 or 10 years back, 2014 or 2016. When she had a dream about the same lady, and she was carrying some precious stones in her right hand, some of some color, she said, I don't remember. And some precious other stones in her left hand. But she overlooked that encounter. She said, "What is this? I don't understand." And when I was teaching this, she was hearing it. The Holy Spirit took her to 2014. And then she realized that the spirit of wisdom that had encountered her at that 10 years back. But she did not know. And when I was speaking about the same spirit, she realized that it was the spirit of wisdom. Do you understand that? Spirit realities can be taught by a person who has really visited God. Spirit realities can be taught by a person who has really went into the throne room Otherwise, people who teach things which do not align to the scriptures are from a demonic imaginary realm, maybe from the second or the first heaven, but not from the third heaven. Do we understand that? So what she saw in 2014, the same thing I saw. That is how the spirit realities are the same. And it is confirmed by witnesses. It is confirmed by witnesses. Let me show you that the Jesus that John saw in Revelation is the same Jesus that Daniel saw in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter number 10. Daniel chapter number 10. Verse number. Okay, again, someone read. Sister Joanne, you can read Daniel chapter number 10, verse number 4 to 6. Okay, and Sister Vetonia, you can read Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 12 to 17. 12 to 17.
Okay. And in the 24th day of the month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold, as Euphaz. His body was like beryl, and his face was as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire. His arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I dared, is that it?
That's it. Yeah.
Amen. Revelations 1:12-17. It reads as thus, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with paps, the paps with a golden girdle. And his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last.
Amen. 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 So did you find out what Daniel is encountering and what John is encountering? The persons they are getting in, you know, they are getting in contact with have similar characteristics. Daniel and John both says that he was clothed, and then they say he was girded with gold. They both say that his eyes were like torches of fire, and Daniel says his eyes were like torches of fire, and then John says that his eyes were like flames of fire. Daniel says that his feet was like bronze and brass, or bronze in some version it says bronze, and then John says that his feet was of brass. They encountered the same Jesus, and they are describing the same qualities. You see that? Don't tell me that, oh, Jesus, when I encountered him, he went to a barber and cut his hair. He did not have long hair at that. No. You have to align with scripture. You have to align. If you saw Jesus, you have to align with scripture. Some of the people have photos of Jesus. I don't have any photo of Jesus because I don't even know who that person is in the photo that I am putting on the wall. That is not even Jesus.
Amen.
Do we understand that?
Thank you.
You have to understand the realities of heaven by scripture. by people. I never saw Jesus in this form, I will tell you really. But I know how Jesus looks like by the witness of two witnesses, that is John and Daniel. Who saw Jesus?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Do we understand that? Any other person, oh, this is how Jesus looks, this is how he looks. Our servant of God came and he said, oh, I have met Jesus many times. I have visited Jesus. I visited heaven and this is how Jesus looks. That is the image that we have in our ministry. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that because it never aligns with the scripture. It can be a familiar spirit who is acting like Jesus. So do we understand? I'm teaching you that. I'm trying to show you from the scripture. And I don't know if I can cover that or not, that the people who really witness the realities of heaven, it should be the same and it should align with scripture. It should align with scripture. I want to show you more. There are a lot I am telling you, but I will show you some of them, okay? I will show you some of them in the scripture. Daniel chapter number 7. Let's go there. Oh God. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter number 7. Chapter 7, verse number 1 to verse number 8. Yes, Sister Joanne, you can read that. Daniel 7, verse number 1 to verse number 8. And, okay, I will read Revelation 13 afterwards because I have to say some things from there. So you can read, Sister Joanne, Daniel chapter 7, verse number 1 to 8. Yes, go ahead.
In the first year of Belteshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and his visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and he was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side. And it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise. Devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. It was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up upon them another little horn. Before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things.
Okay, there are four beasts. The first beast, he says, looks like a lion. The second beast, he says, looks like a bear. Having, there is some significance in the second beast that looks like a bear. It's that it has three ribs. Remember, three ribs. Three ribs in the mouth. The third beast looks like a leopard. Another significance it has, it has four wings and four heads. Okay. Then the fourth beast, he cannot describe it. But he says that the beast has multiple heads, ten horns. He says the beast has 10 horns. Okay. Remember that now. Now the fourth beast that he is mentioning is the collaboration of the first three beasts. That which is revealed by John. Because he sees the same thing, which is the beast system. I don't have time to show you. The first beast was a single nation that was invading the world before World War I. The second beast, the three ribs, are the collaboration of three nations coming together. Three people coming together. The three ribs bear during the World War I. The World War II is the leopard, the nations that they came together. That is the leopard. Then the fourth beast that is going to come, because after World War II, something was formed called the United Nations. It was formed for the peace on the earth. And United Nations comprises of all the nations that fought the World War I, World War II, except for two nations. And in one of them is the Vatican City. That does is not in the any which ways. I cannot come to that. That is the second beast. But so all the nations came together, which is the fourth beast that he speaks about, which has 10 horns, which is exceedingly dreadful. And what he speaks is now, let me take you to Revelation chapter number 13. Revelation chapter number 13. See what John sees here. Verse number one. He says, then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 head and 10 horns. Similar characteristic of the fourth beast that Daniel describes. And on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his heads, a blasphemous name. What that beast was doing, the fourth one? Blasphemy. Pompous words from his mouth. Here also he says he was a blasphemous name. He had a blasphemous name. Now listen to this. Verse number two. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet was like a bear, and his mouth was like a lion. What were the beasts that Daniel saw? First beast, lion. Second beast, bear. Third beast was leopard. And now John is saying these beasts are the collaboration of the lion, of the bear, of the leopard. Mm-hmm. So the dragon gave him power, his throne, and great authority. As I saw one of his head as it... Okay, let's stop that. Do you see? So you cannot look at something which does not align to the scripture. When you read the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, you will find a lot of similarities if you have the eyes to see and if you have the mind of the spirit to interpret it. You will see a lot of similarities, because what Daniel was seeing thousands of years ago, John witnesses the same things. And Daniel was a man of revelation. He was a powerful man, I'm telling you, because he saw the things that will happen at the end of the world, right in his time. So they are having a look at the same revelations. The realities of the spirit are the same. It just takes a man who can witness it to confirm it. Do we understand that? Do we understand that? So we got to evaluate encounters. Amen. We got to evaluate. We got the encounters that we have. The encounters that people. Oh, I went to hell. I saw this. I went to heaven. I saw this. Evaluate it by people's encounters in the Bible. What they saw in heaven, does it align to their encounters? Okay. Do we understand that? Okay. Now, I have to complete this. Let's see the similarity in the utterances of the apostles. 2 Peter chapter number 2. So Sister Joanne, you would have to help me again. Read from verse number 4 to verse number 17. Okay? 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 4 to verse number 17. Now, for your information, this scripture is Peter's letter to the church for him to address some false preachers, false apostles, and false prophet that he's speaking to the church. And to your surprise, what Peter is writing to the church about the false preacher is exactly what Jude writes to the church. And Sister Vetonia, you can read Jude, verse number 5 to 15. Jude, verse number 5 to 15. Yes.
For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and the eighth person, the creature of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and condemned with them with an overthrow, making them as an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, mixed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed with righteousness, righteous soul, from day to day with their unlawful deeds, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the just unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak of evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are in blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes of full adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. And heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Uzzar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, eyes that are carried with a tempest, to whom in the midst of darkness is reserved forever.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jude 5:15. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness into the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal light, fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignity.
The same thing that Peter was speaking. Yeah, continue. Yeah.
Mm. Yes, Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a rallying accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally. As brute beasts in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of poor. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water.
The same speaking. Okay, the Peter spoke the same thing. They are clouds without water. They are spots in your love feast. They ran in the way of Balaam. He is speaking the same things. Yeah, continue.
Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withered, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Okay. Against them.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Peter speaks the words that we read about from Peter, the letter. He says, they are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels, they also don't speak like that. Jude says the same thing in verse number 8. He says they reject authorities and speak evil of dignitaries and don't even say things that even angels dare not to speak. Peter says in verse number 17 that these are wells without water, clouds carried by tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Jude says the same thing in verse number 12. They are clouds without water, carried away about by the winds, like late autumn trees without fruit. Then Peter says that they are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. They sit with you, they eat with you, but they are spots in your love feast. Jude 12, he speaks the same things. These are spots in your love feast while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. There are other many similarities I don't have time to show you, but you can read the scripture. Two men who are writing about an issue in the church, they are speaking the same things. And you might say, oh, Brother Peter, don't be so judgmental and criticizing. He is not criticizing anyone. He is not judging anyone. The Spirit of God is releasing words of judgment through him. That's why what he is speaking from the Spirit, Jude is speaking the same thing from the Spirit, whereas both are not together.
Mm.
Hallelujah. Do we understand that?
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Ministers of the Gospels have come up and they say, oh, judgment, criticism, we don't have that. We just preach love, love, love people, love others. That is nonsense. The Spirit of God gives utterance to expose evil in the church. There is so much happening in the church. And you see Peter and Jude, they are not speaking against those false preachers and apostles and prophets because they have something personal against them or they were hurted by them. No, they are speaking because the Spirit of God is giving them the utterance to speak against them to the church and expose them. And when they are speaking from the Spirit of God is speaking, confirming that it is from me. Whatever Peter is speaking and whatever Jude is speaking, that is the unity we need in the church today, people of God. Unity of the utterances, unity in the teaching of, hallelujah. When the Bible says they continued in apostles' doctrine, the apostles were thoroughly in an intimate relationship with God. So whatever they taught was in alignment with each other. And it's not the church of Jerusalem was going some on other way and the church of Corinth was going somewhere. But because the apostles were united in spirit, the church of Jerusalem, the church in Corinth, the church in Ephesus, the churches in other parts of Minor Asia, were led in the same doctrine, were led in the same way, were all led to Christ. Do we understand that? Because when we hear the utterances of God and teach the same, that is the unity of the Spirit. That is the bond of peace in the body of Christ, beloved. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Some more things. Hallelujah. Okay, some more things, people of God. Second, I will read that, okay. Second Peter, small verses. Second Peter chapter number 3, verse 10. Second Peter chapter number 3, verse 10. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Okay, First Thessalonians, this is what Peter says. Let's see what Apostle Paul says. First Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 2. He says, For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Even the examples they are using is the same. Peter and Paul didn't discuss the sermon, but what they are speaking is from the Spirit of God to the church. Hallelujah. So, another scripture. These are the Old Testament. Let me show you another New Testament verse. Matthew chapter number 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is John's sermon. Okay, let's see Matthew's chapter number 4, verse number 17. Matthew's chapter number 4, verse number 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, what is Jesus' first sermon? Repent, and for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The same preaching, the same sermon, what John preached, Jesus is saying. The same Spirit gave them utterance to preach the same sermon. Hallelujah. Micah. Let's go to the Old Testament prophets. And then we will pray. I encourage you to read the Bible and see the similarities. How people, there are many of them, but I am showing you some of them. Micah. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Chapter number 4 and verse number 1 to 3. Chapter number 4, verse number 1 to 3. Now it shall come to pass in the later days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Let's go now to Isaiah chapter number 2, verse number 1 to 4. Isaiah chapter number 2, verse number 1 to 4. The word of the Lord, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the later days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Exactly the same. What Isaiah is saying, what Micah is saying, because they are speaking from the same Spirit. Hallelujah. And now let's come back to the New Testament scripture in Ephesians chapter number 4. Hallelujah. Tonight we are going to cry out to God for utterance. Not only for the utterance to given to one man, but the utterance and his Spirit to be poured upon the all the children of God. It says, Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The unity of the bond of the Spirit is executed by the oneness of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and of the burden, and of the word, and the witness of God himself, who is a triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Son will never speak of his own, but whatever the Father speaks, only that the Son will speak. The Spirit will never speak of his own. Whatever the Son speaks, that is what Jesus says. He will take what is of mine give it to you. That is only what the Spirit says, what the Son will give to the Spirit. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are united together by the word of witness. And then the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are searching for someone who can unite with their word so that they can make a house and stay with that person. When a person unites with the witness of God, with the word of God, with what he says and with what he shows. And I am telling you, this is the only thing that can bring unity in the remnant of God. We don't have to strive to be united together as all the denominations. We just have to strive that God sends the people who hear his voice and obey his voice. Only those people can be united. The whole church in the world cannot be united. Hallelujah. One of the pastors who was a very good teacher, but now started to teach manipulative doctrines and words that are not from God. And he started to say, oh, you know what? Why do you criticize a preacher who says once saved, forever saved is true? Can't you just accept his opinion and suggestion because we are of the same faith? No, we cannot accept any doctrine that does not align with the word. Can't we just get united together as a church? No, we can't get united together. We have to search for people who have the utterance of the same Spirit that gives us the utterance. And they can be united together, not in the flesh, but in one Spirit with the Lord. Hallelujah. There can be differences of culture. Hallelujah. There can be differences of culture because I am from India, you are from US, someone is from Canada, someone is from Africa. We can have differences of culture, but you see how God is working in this place, bringing people together, that where we are relatives in the Spirit. Though we are differentiated by cultures, countries, and caste or language, but we are united in the Spirit. When we are united in the Spirit, like the early church, do you know the early church of Jerusalem was an international church? The people who got saved, who they were the Cretans from Arab and from Mesopotamia and from all those countries, they are the one who came in the early church. And all of them came together to form the church. They were of different caste, cultures, and creed. But the Bible says all of them came together and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in breaking of bread, and in prayer. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. How can people of different caste and culture come together in unity? It's by the utterance of God. It's by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's true unity I want to define for the church. Oh, rebosh katabarabon sekete rebende. Lampranto fazikatavarabalahada. Jesus said, who are my mothers? Who are my brother? Those who hear and obey my father's word, the word of God, they are my mother, they are my brothers. So those who hear the voice of God and obey, they are my relatives. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, in this time and season, I ask you, Lord, that there will be witnesses and there will be the agreement of God's witnesses in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Father, I know that your Holy Spirit is working, Father, to bring together the remnant, oh Lord, from the nations of the earth. You want to bring the spiritual Israel, the spiritual remnant from the nations of the earth. And that is how it will work, Lord. The people who have the same utterances, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, even as the devil is bringing his witnesses, Lord, who are building Babylon, but we come together as your witnesses and we build your house, Lord. We build the system, Lord. Oh, heaven system on earth, Lord. Your will on earth that will dominate the nations of the earth. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And tonight I ask you, Lord, let there be Isaiah's and Micah's here, Lord. Let there be Peter's and Jude, your Lord. Let there be Paul's, your Lord. Oh, Lord, who are united united together in the utterance of the Spirit, because the Bible says so clearly, there is only one Spirit. Oh Lord, doctrines, Lord, a doctrine of the Word of God cannot be manipulated, cannot be added to, or cannot be subtracted. We just have to teach what already exists, Lord. Oh, nothing can come out of mind. Many people are saying, oh, you know, the secrets or mysteries, someone defined mystery and he said, mystery is something that is not found in the Bible. That is nonsense. That is a lie. Everything is found in the Bible. Oh, we are not someone new who is creating a new doctrine. I am not someone new who is creating a new doctrine. I am teaching things that already exist in the realms of God. I am teaching mysteries that already exist in the archives of God. And ancient saints of God who walked in the same ways, they already operated in those mysteries. They have already spoken about those mysteries. Oh, we are just aligning to the ancient ways of God. We are just walking in the footsteps of Jesus. We are not creating any new thing. Oh, Jesus has already created, oh, and taught and brought the doctrine of the Father. We are just aligning to it and walking in it. Oh, Reba Zial Taraban Drebense, the search for creativity, the anxiety for doing something new is increasing among the servants of God in the church of God, which is dangerous. We just have to align to the Ancient of Days. We just have to walk in those ancient paths. Hallelujah. Rabba Sovranta Ravandrovo Zekete Rebele. Oh, and when we align with the witness of God, with the Word of God, we are walking in an authority, oh, which will dominate all thrones, dominions, and powers. Hallelujah. That are on the face of the earth, because no word of the devil can cross or defeat the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. Let us align to God's Word. Let us open our ears and hearts to hear God's voice. And the angels cry, holy. All creation cry, holy. And be lifted high, holy. Holy forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Joanne, can you sing that song? All thrones, all powers. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship together. Thank you, Jesus. Be exalted, Lord. You are the greatest witness, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Worship, sing the song of ages to the land. All who come before us and all who will believe, sing the song of ages to the land. Your name is the highest, and your name is the greatest, in your name. And all thrones, dominions, and all powers, and positions in your name, oh, it stands above the moon. The angels cry, holy, and the creations cry, holy. Holy, you are lifted high. Holy, you're holy forever. And hear your people sing. Holy, you are King of Kings. Holy. Holy, you will always be holy. You're holy.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, just worship Him. His presence is in this place. Hallelujah. He wants people who can hear Him and obey Him. He wants people who can give Him all the glory. He wants people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can he find people in this place? Oh, can he find you in this place? Can he find you back in this place? Will you come back to him? Will you come back to his word? Will you come back to personal devotion? Will you come back to the ancient of days and to the ancient ways of God? Hallelujah. There is nothing under the sun called as a new anointing or a fresh fire. People are going from crusades or from conference to conference. And when you ask them, oh, I am searching for a fresh anointing. There is nothing called in the Bible as a fresh anointing, a fresh fire, a new fire. Oh, you just need to align to the Ancient of Days and seek anointing from him. Oh, hallelujah. How long will you weary yourself from going to place and man to man to search, oh, a solution for your life? Go to him in the secret, and the God who sees you will in secret will reward you openly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We want to give you the praise. We want to give you the praise. We want to give you the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, bring us back to the ancient ways. Bring us back to the anointing that you give to people, Lord, to the doctrine of the word of God. I ask you, Lord, bring us back, Lord, that your remnant, Lord, like the apostles and the church, they all continued in that doctrine. It was not that doctrine, but they all taught hearing the Spirit of God. Father, I pray that each and every person will align with your ways. They will hear you, Lord, and if they will hear from your Spirit, Lord, they will see the things that you show to them, Lord. Lord, I command, I pray for people who are under a spell of false visions and false dreams that don't come from God, but show themselves as if they are from God. I break that manipulation in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, let your people see things that you show them. Let them hear your words that you speak to them in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you will cover this ministry with walls of fire, that no lie and deception will be able to creep on this platform in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will keep us and your sheep protected under your covering, only under your word. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I call them by name and they follow me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let your sheep hear your voice, and every hireling who is not a true shepherd be eradicated from the people's life, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory for this time, and thank you for your wonderful presence in this place. And I cover all your people with the blood of Jesus Christ, even those who are not there, their families, everyone, Lord. We bring them under your covering in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And we pray the coming week, lead your people, speak to them, Lord. Oh, fill us with your word, fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Give you the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we ask, Lord. Amen. Let's shout amen to God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.